Welcome to the Electric Spirit Podcast, where we dive into all things metaphysical and fun. Here's your host, psychic medium, Jamie Lynn.
Hi, welcome to the Electric Spirit Podcast. I'm your host, psychic medium, Jamie Lynn. Today, we welcome to the show Denise Maselli. Denise is a captivating guide and mentor specializing in transformational change and positive growth. With expertise in energy healing and intuitive coaching, Denise empowers individuals to explore self-awareness through subconscious healing, meditation, and breathwork. Denise's talents lie in simplifying complex concepts and facilitating natural learning experiences. Through articles, recordings, and videos, she creates transformative content, inspiring personal growth, spirituality, and the pursuit of dream lives. As an empathic soul, Denise helps others connect with their purpose, sharing insights to foster healing and liberation. Join us as we interview Denise, and she brings her unique approach to conscious and subconscious healing. And you can find Denise on her website, rockyourblocks.com. And welcome to the show, Denise.
Thank you so much, Jamie. It's great to be here.
Thank you. I am so glad you're here. Can you share more about your concept, Rock Your Blocks, and how it helps individuals remove blocks and change their lives?
Yeah, so absolutely. Rock Your Blocks is about getting to the root causes of any disconnection that you're feeling in life. And it's really about whether it's career, relationship, health. People come, life brings us all kinds of issues all the time. But when we feel negative emotion, that is the sign that we're out of alignment. There's something between our inner selves and our external world that doesn't sit right. And so it's really important to identify the emotion and understand that when we don't feel anything positive, like we can't even feel hopeful, we know that there is a misalignment. And so it's really based on that, is how can we remove those blocks, especially the persistent ones? Because most people will go somewhere between sadness or anxiousness, worry. And we tend to, most people tend to lean towards one or the other when things don't feel right. And so we know if we have a persistent pattern of that, like overthinking the future is on the anxiety side, or being sad and stuck in a memory of the past is on the depression side. And so on that continuum, we want to be more towards the middle where we can feel hope, where we can, even if things aren't perfect, we can feel pretty happy. And so that's where Rock Your Blocks came up, is, you know what? We all have blocks, and it's the inner work that I love to help people through, because I've done it myself and I've been involved with meditation and yoga for 5 decades. So I know that it works, and it's like anything. If we practice it, it helps us, and it keeps our nervous system from being on, that high alert and overreactivity that is so kind of rampant these days,
Right, exactly. Well, that's great. The episode title that we called this episode, you mentioned how people-pleasing patterns can turn into imposter syndrome. Could you elaborate on this connection and explain how your approach addresses these challenges?
Absolutely. A lot of times when you hear about imposter syndrome, you also, it gets explained about that one of the ways it can come up is through people pleasing. And so the way I connect this is mostly working with women. I find that we as women, in one way or another, have been taught to consider others' feelings, others' needs, everything else before our own. Whether we had that strongly in our family of origin, whether it was society or cultural expectations, some cultures more than others, relied on the woman to really, keep everybody kind of stable. And so when we do this, we don't, people hear people pleasing and they think, oh, that sounds so terrible, but it's out of love. We were trying to, really be able to connect and to make sure that everyone else was okay. But sometimes that feeling of disconnection comes from too much of putting other people first, and we push down the things that we desire, the things that we want to do in life. And so that continuation of that can sometimes lead to resentment. And we're like, why am I snapping at my partner? Why am I snapping at my kids? You know, why do I feel so jumpy? And part of it is that when we people please, we're going to resent the time that we aren't able to give ourselves. So that self-care kind of becomes like, oh, that thing that you do 10 minutes before bed and you're too tired to do it. So it doesn't happen. And so that can happen. And then we have to take responsibility that we haven't said, you know, I'd love to meditate for 10 minutes before bed. I'm going to just take this time for me. And then as time goes on, if you don't do that, you get in that disconnected mode and you start to feel other things that you really don't want to feel. And unfortunately, a lot of times it can start at a very early age. So, you know, women of a certain generation, most of my clients are in their 40s and up, but I do get some younger clients. But during those times long ago, we were often called upon to help support the family, whether it was emotionally, whether it was getting a job at a very young age. And so at a young age, if I was, for example, like the little artist child and I was always painting or something, if my family needed me to make dinner or go take care of mom first, because mom was upset a lot. And, you know, if I had to do those things, then I pushed down my artistic quality and I didn't feed it. And at the time, I didn't care because as a child, of course, all we want is to be loved and approved of. And so, no, and our parents, look, they did the best that they can. And it's not about blame. It's about understanding maybe why those things. Now, later in life, we're like, we see paintings and we go, oh, I really want to do that. I really want to engage with that. And a lot of us, you know, maybe later in life find more time and we go, wow, I wish I had pursued this more. But, you know, there was a reason that I didn't. And so there's a lot of ways that girls and women can fall into this kind of a pattern. And then later they're like, oh my goodness, I want to change something in my life, but I feel guilty even thinking about it. So,
right, exactly. Oh, yeah, but that does make sense, Denise. It does. That we put our own needs before other people's sometimes. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, some may experience this more than others. You know, it was my experience, but mm-hmm. I think because I had that experience, I learned very young that. Like once I became a preteen and a teenager, I was like, you know what? I am going to do my art. I am going to and take yoga classes. And I bounced back from it. And that's why I know that people can, by identifying where it came from without going into, you know, digging and talking about it. And that's the beauty of the subconscious is that we don't have to dig deep. We just can identify that repeated memory, that repeated emotion, and then we can work on it with a very easy, simple way without it being, you know, like a talk therapy where you talk about it and then you almost get more upset because you're like sad that it happened. I think people are looking for a different way of healing, you know?
The description, the episode, because we're talking about people pleasing, really mentions aligning behaviors, emotions, and pattern to one's authentic self. And I know you kind of talked about that. But how does subconscious rewiring play a role in achieving this alignment?
Yeah, so I'll give a little background too. Yeah. There's all different types of subconscious healing now, but it is all based on the idea that our subconscious mind is like an iCloud of all the memories of our lives. And I love to use this analogy because people can relate. Like all of our memories are in there. And the ones that keep on repeating are typically the upsetting ones, right? So if we feel a lot of self-doubt, it might be because, you know, we want to believe we're a good artist. I'll just run with that example. But we haven't developed it enough. And like friends may be like, wow, that looks really amazing. And we feel like, oh no, it can't be. Like we can't even take praise because we don't believe in ourselves enough. So this style of subconscious healing is based on the idea that 95% of our reactions and behaviors in life are based on what's already in there, what's had been on replay for so long that we don't even know we're doing it. And our brain, as intelligent as it is, it doesn't know that. And that's why sometimes people will set a conscious goal and then they go to do the thing and they just end up doing the exact opposite. And I would have coaching clients. I used to do nutrition and wellness, and they'd come back a week later. They had a great plan. They were motivated, and they came back and they're like, Denise, I don't know what happened. I just couldn't get started. And it's because of these persistent patterns. So the work is based on, it was created by a therapist called Dr. Gary Flint. And his work was based on NLP, which is like all the rage. Everyone's doing it now, right? Neuro-linguistic programming, which is just talking to yourself, but also based on internal family systems therapy, which says that when we experience any kind of, you know, disconnect as a child, we develop a part that becomes protective. So like that protective part of the artist child was, I will come and be the rescuer child because I'm very intuitive and I know that someone's upset in the family. And I will put that artist down in a lower position in my personality. And so that protective part stays with us. It doesn't know that we're now adults. And so essentially we'll talk to it and we'll say, we use meditation and breath to get people nervous system to calm. And we say, hey, dear part, we love you, but we don't need you driving the bus anymore. We are perfectly fine now. We are safe. And I thank you. I love you for being protective of me so that I could be loved and seen. But I don't need you to. You can get in the back seat now.
Right.
And so we basically, you know, gently sort of soften the weight of that memory. We demagnetize the power of it so that that part is always going to be there. You know, people say, oh, you've got to get rid of that emotion. Come on. We are never going to get rid of our memories, but we can lessen the impact they have on our daily lives.
Sure. That makes sense. Imposter syndrome is discussed in relation to manifestation and abundance. How does Rock Your Blocks help reduce the impact of perfectionism, people-pleasing, and procrastinating on one's ability to manifest and attract abundance?
I love this question because really imposter syndrome is so different person to person. And I think there's, you know, they call it the four P's of imposter syndrome. Some of us might be more perfectionist. Some might be more, you know, because some people be like, oh, heck no, I'm not a people pleaser, but they're extreme perfectionists, right? They get stuck in inaction because they want everything to be perfect, be put their logo out there or something, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me a couple of months, so I'm just saying.
No, I understand. Sure.
But, you know, and then we can, you know, get paralysis where we just like, we don't move forward because we're so worried about how it's going to look. And so all of those things being said, we have these self-limiting beliefs that crop up as the imposter. And so given that we know all of these things are just memories and emotions, when we bring them down by doing this work, by helping, and one of the key features of the work I do is every single session, I'm teaching another way to calm the mind because everyone is different with this. You know, it used to be we would sit there and ohm. I mean, when I first found the first book on meditation, it was literally that was what it was. You would sit there and ohm, and, you know, that's like not for everyone. And so now you can listen to sounds, you can listen to healing bowls, you can, I mean, breath work. There's so many choices. You can journal and you can grow from that. So I like to give people a bunch of different options, give them little tastes of it. And that's what I do on my YouTube channel. Like it's really for beginners who are trying to calm their mind, trying to feel more in sync with themselves. And so by crafting that practice, it opens you to your intuition. And this is where we get those inspired insights. This is where we can really connect with who we are instead of those, you know, voices from outside of us being the loudest and the most reactionary. So that's how we really use all of these techniques together and really neutralizing. I call it neutralizing, demagnetizing, just taking the power out of these deep subconscious emotional patterns. Now we've got space. And so every single time that I meditate, some days, and I tell people this, it is a practice. You are not going to just wake up and be a perfect meditator, right? You've got to give yourself a chance. And some people like it in the morning, some like it in the evening. Whatever works for you, try different things. and don't give up, because there are going to be days, and I, as an experienced person with this, I have days where I cannot calm my mind and I just say, okay, it's just one of those days, maybe later today, you know? Yeah. And so you have to have that self-compassion, and that will create that space where you suddenly have insight, you know, I really do want to paint, or I really do want to write a book. I didn't, you know, but all of those other things were taking up that space and we couldn't find it in us. So it's really powerful work. And that's why I'm so excited to, you know, to share it and let people know about what's possible.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I love to paint too, and it's very therapeutic. I will just tell you guys a story. I have a daughter that's autistic, and when she was diagnosed in 2017, I stayed up all night and I was drawing an angel, and that's how I dealt with it. It took me hours to draw it, but it's like I felt compelled to do it, and it just really relaxed me. So
it is so powerful.
Yeah, it is.
Art therapy is a real, it's a real thing. And, you know, some people find it with music, but this is where, when we quiet ourselves down, and, you know, we all know that the world is always going to bring us chaos, right?
Right.
That how we are inside will determine how we can look at what we can control, which is our internal world. Stronger we become in that, it really won't matter how crazy things get outside of us. I feel we're at a point, Jamie, where I feel that people need tools like this to cope with all these crazy things.
And the reason I don't usually stay up all night, but the reason I did is because it's quiet at night. You know, everybody's sleeping, so I didn't have any interruptions. It was nice, but I mean, I don't recommend you staying up all night, but it's something I had to do to cope with this. And I'm glad that you brought up, you know, doing the art, because it is very therapeutic.
It is, and not everyone will understand either, but it's okay. You know, I mean, when I was younger and I was dealing with this, I had a friend whose mother was an artist, and that inspired me so that I started doing art in her style, because it was the first, you know, exposure I had to an actual artist. And you know, and then started writing poetry and things like that. And I realized I do have this whole creative side, but it wasn't something that was seen or valued. But I was able to get outside of that family dynamic and see other people and have that other voice. Because part of it is, we have like a statement about what we feel we have, which of course we've never articulated as a kid, but we love doing art. But there's another statement being said about us that has nothing to do with that. And then here we are like going, which one is true? Mentally, not consciously saying that, but we're hearing these two different things and we're like, we get confused about it.
And I remember growing up when I went to elementary school in the 70s, they encouraged art. Like, we had art class, and I don't know what it's like now, but
we had art, we had music.
Yeah.
I mean, we had all of these things, and it was just
amazing. Wonderful. Yeah, definitely. You mentioned empowering clients to rewrite their brains and neutralize negative emotions and memories. Could you share a success story or an example of someone who has benefited from this process?
Gosh, you know, I have so many, but I'm going to share two of the most powerful ones. I was doing some of these sessions online for free, just to introduce people to them, for about a year ago. And so I really found a lot of people that way who became much more interested. But one woman, she was just so stressed out about her job. She was she had to meet quotas and all of this stuff. And she was like, I don't know what to do. You know, it was like still end of the pandemic. And she was like, I can't really afford to lose my job. And, you know, as we get older, we experience discrimination of getting another job. And so she was very stressed, and she came to three or four sessions. And, you know, and sometimes you don't heal from people for a while. But a couple of months later, she reached out to me, and she said, I cleared so much about my self-limiting beliefs that I quit my job and I found the perfect job for me in a nonprofit. I don't have sales pressure. I'm helping people. And, you know, she told me the whole story. And she was just like, this changed my life. This helped me to see that the beliefs around, you know, a lot of us grew up with very scarcity. You have to work hard. You have to like, keep your job, keep your benefits. All of that stuff was such a thing, you know, people, you know, in our parents' generation or earlier, they worked for one job for 20, 30 years. Yeah. And we're so not in that world now, but, you know, we have those beliefs in us. And so she was able to completely change her career and become something completely different at midlife, which takes a lot. And so being able to clear some of that mindset of like, I have to stick with it. And she was just like, I thank you so much, Denise. She said, I am so much happier. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do this without really identifying what that was all about. You know, because fear is a big emotion. We don't know exactly where it came from. And then I had one other client who had serious childhood trauma, had tried everything, tried all kinds of therapy and all of that. Now, I did work with her for a longer period of time, but she has cleared so much of it. And she was holding a lot of it in her body as well. Wow. And we worked together week after week after week. And she is recently reached out to me and she's like, oh, I got to tell you what's going on. I'm so excited. And she just sounds like a different person. She started going to the gym. She started taking care of herself more. You could just tell that just layers were peeled away. So it's very powerful.
Yes, definitely. It sure is. This episode really highlights, because we're talking about people pleasing, and it highlights positive shifts in perspective leading to improved habits and life changes. Can you provide insights into how these shifts occur and their impact on personal and professional aspects of life? I hope that's not too long of a question.
No. I mean, I kind of touched a little bit on it. It's fine. Yeah. Of like how even clearing one session, I've had people start to identify like things that they really want. You know, they'll have different maybe images come to mind. Sometimes they'll have a memory they never had before. Thing that happened to me, I had a memory of feeling left out. And I even remember a picture, you know, how when you're a kid, you've got all those pictures, right? We used to do all the black and white pictures and all that. Well, I had a picture of myself going like, why am I not included? You know, and it brought back a memory in one of these sessions. And I thought, wow, I really did not feel seen. And I really did feel different. And even though I felt loved, it wasn't anything, you know, again, nothing about blame, but it was just, that's why I tell people it doesn't have to be trauma. Could just be the way that you felt. Maybe you even misunderstood the circumstances. But when you clear that, when you can use this simple method to clear it without pain, without having to talk about it over and over, then use the I am statements, which I'm sure you've heard of. They are so powerful. So many thought leaders use these. And so we plant those positive seeds. And so I will intuitively read the person or the group and feel into it and say, here's a suggested one. But if you feel something different, create your own. And even if it's, I am worthy, I mean, I go very general because we want to get people in the direction of feeling worthy of whatever they want to create in life. So by clearing and then creating, we don't just want to leave a big gap there and clear away the negative. We want to include, what do you want to create? And that often comes up very organically in the process with the I am statements.
Oh, I like that. I like the I am statements. As a certified subconscious practitioner and intuitive life coach, what sets your approach apart? And how does it contribute to the lasting changes individuals experience?
Well, two things. One is I was so impressed myself having done this on myself and attended sessions for about 4 weeks that in 4 weeks' time, I said, I've got to get this to help my clients at an even deeper level. Because even as a health coach, you know, you work with people while you're working with them, they lose the weight, they do this, but they don't keep it off. They don't keep the habits, right? So I wanted to find a way to help them really make lasting changes. So with my approach, I help women create their own daily practice that they're going to stick with. You know, I let people know I started out with just the basic meditation and it was hard. Nowadays, you can have guided, you can listen to beautiful singing bowls, you can change it every week. You know, and I do, I change mine. There are periods of time where I do more breath work, I journal every day, but I do focus on clearing my mind. So when you do that, You help people to maintain the changes that they have found. And so they are ready for, you know, and they start to notice the self-talk that they have, right? So many people, you hear them saying negative things out loud. That shifts when you do this work. And you start to slow yourself down and say, wait a minute, let me change that. I've even said something and I'm like, hold it, take it back. I'm going to say this instead. And so it really does give them tools that they can, you know, make it a long-lasting change and not just fall back into the same patterns. And I certainly don't want people to work with me forever, right? I want them to be able to take that information and really make it become a part of them. So.
Of course. You use various tools when you do this work. Can you briefly describe some of these tools and how individuals can integrate them into their lives to increase joy?
Yeah, so I think a little bit, it really, like I said, I've been meditating for 5 decades, and some people will say to me, oh, I tried that, it didn't work for me. And I'll say, tell me a little bit more. And they literally tried it 2 times. And I'm like, come on. It's not a perfection, right? Because that's a lot of perfectionism to say, I tried it, and then you find out they did it once or twice. Anything you try once or twice, like roller skating, you're not going to be a pro at it. So I tell people, you've got to be open to having a growth mindset, and that so far you haven't been able to shake this negativity, whatever it may be for you. So you've got to be open to that, and then you've got to try and sample things. And this is why, you know, there's a million apps now that people can get right on their phone. And so what I do recommend, and I do create meditations for Insight Timer. That's one of the apps that I'm on. And you can go on there and save the ones you like. So you don't have to be searching all the time. You can go back and use the same ones. And I used to love having someone talk to me and say, you know, breathe, let go of any tightness in your body. And so there's that style. There's just sounds. And then I do also recommend people trying like restorative yoga or yin yoga, where you do that relaxation before bed. I have a couple of videos on that on my YouTube channel. So it really is unique in that there's a huge amount of variety that you can choose from. But I love giving samples out so people can find the one that they connect with and know that it's okay if it changes over the course of a week, a month, or over your lifetime in different times of your life. So it's basically, the goal is to stay in touch with your inner voice and clear that chatter of the outside world so you can really get that inspired, feeling in your heart that you're going to have an inspired day, because no one wants to work and feel like, I got to do 10 hours of work today. I have to do this. I have to meet this goal. That's what I call motivated action. And it's so much better to feel inspired, to know, even though I have a lot to do, I know that if I do this right now, it's going to be amazing. And then you flow with it. You know, they call it what, being in the flow.
Yeah, right. They do. I like that. And Insight Timer, I have that. That's an app. So the audience knows, it's really cool.
Yes. And so if you are watching this as a video, you can scan the QR code and it'll show you all the different resources that I have.
Oh, that's
but cool. Also you can get the same also at my website. But it really is about looking for something that works for you, as long as you're quieting your mind. I tell people this, you could listen to the sound of your air conditioner. But point is giving yourself space in the best state of mind possible at that given moment. Sometimes it's not going to be the best, but other days you'll have such inspired thoughts and intuition that it will serve you a long, long time.
For those who may be feeling triggered or out of touch with their inner selves, what advice would you give them in approaching and learning the easy-to-use method you offer?
So I love this question, because triggering is such a thing, right? I mean, I talk about this like 5-10 years ago. It wasn't even a thing. It was something you heard in clinical settings, but you didn't see it on movies, commercials, or like videos, right? We have these trigger warnings. Well, it is a sign. And I tell people this, try to look at it positively, because it's allowing too much external influence into your life. And so I recommend that when you feel yourself coming out of alignment, something triggers you, something on the news, something that an important person in your life says, ask yourself this question. Why is this person or particular statement or event, why is this triggering a reaction in me? What is it about this that has something to do with me? Because what do we tend to do, right? When we're triggered, we blame the person. We say they're stupid. We go outside of ourselves. But rather than lashing out and blaming others and getting inflamed, try to go a little deeper and ask yourself why. And that's where the power is, because you might discover, you know what? I feel resentful. And I love this example because it happened to me. I was a single mom and I had a daughter with special needs as well. So we have that in common. Wow. But I will tell you that I would watch my friends going all over the world and doing all these amazing vacations with their partners. And I was jealous. I will admit it. But yeah. I needed to be saying, but what if, Jamie, I had said, Denise, what about watching, you know, this, all these wonderful, amazing things that your friends are doing? What is it about that is upsetting you? What I could have found was that I wasn't taking that time for me. Even if it wasn't a trip around the world, I could have done more vacations for myself. I could have made that work, but instead I lashed out of myself. And of course, I didn't do it to their faces, but I would look at their stuff and be like, oh, another great vacation. Oh. You guys are amazing, you know? But that's what we do. And then we don't have any power there because we're not going to change, you know, we don't even want those people we care about to not do those wonderful things for themselves. But it was really something that was a need within me. And so even to this day, I'm finally planning some travel this year. And I'm like, it's a long time coming, but I was pushing that down and saying, no, you've got to take care of, you know, this and that and this and that. You can't afford to do it. Whatever I was telling myself. But that triggering, if we ask, what is it about this? That is something I'm not doing for me.
Yeah, we just have to honor ourselves.
That's what it is. Absolutely. Yeah. What a great way to sum it up. It's honoring yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. My last question is, our tagline for the Electric Spirit is igniting your spirit. How do you ignite your spirit, Denise?
So I ignite my spirit, my soul, I like to call it, by staying in touch with my inner self through my daily practice of 15 minutes of meditation. And I follow that with journaling, whatever I feel inspired from the meditation. And it just allows me to stop that external noise just for a little bit and get in touch with my intuition. And, you know, sometimes I'll ask myself, what do I really need to focus in on today? What feels like if I did it today, it would be amazing. And so this combination really sets me up for inspired action. And I know that what I'm inspired to do is to share these tools with women so that they can empower and transform their lives by increasing their alignment with their authentic selves and having more joy, more freedom, and more happiness, because life is too short. So,
yes, it is. Where can people find you on social media?
So I am at Rock Your Blocks. And if you go to that main website, all of the links will be there to like my articles that I write, my YouTube channel, and then all my socials and all the other resources. I was a teacher, so I like to provide audio, video, articles. Because I know people have different ways they like to learn and see, you know, what speaks to you and reach out. I'd love to hear from your listeners.
That's amazing. We have a lot in common. We're both Pisces. We have a special needs daughters. And we were both teachers. I taught college for 10 years. That's interesting.
Oh, wow. I was in K-12, but yes, I was very much loved teaching and still do, you know.
Yeah. I have a bachelor's in elementary ed, but I lived in Michigan and everybody from the South was moving up to Michigan because Michigan paid so high. So I couldn't get a job. There were few and far between. So, you know, I did other things. I'm doing this now, but it's really interesting. Real quick, what kind of services, it sounds like you offer coaching, and I know you went into that, but what could people do if they went to your website just before we go?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do offer limited one-on-one sessions, but right now I'm offering a small group coaching, which I love this small group container because we learn from each other, right? If you show up one day and you're like, I don't really feel like talking today, you're going to hear something from someone else that you could just get the same amount of healing with half of the work, because you're like, oh my gosh, just like you and I, like, yeah, how, like we've got 10 things in common, right? Just from this conversation. Yeah. And people will find, oh my gosh, she just said exactly what I was going through, because we don't realize it. But as women, we have a lot of very similar experiences. And yeah, so having this small group coaching, it's a brand new thing for me, but I absolutely love it. And so I'll run that twice a year. I just started it, so I still have room for a couple people. So one of the things on my website, if you'll go to the first page, you'll see it and you can click there. And there's a video that explains more about what the course is about. So if anyone's interested in joining that, check it out. But yeah, you can also just reach out and have a free call with me to find out like what we could do together. So
that's awesome. And you know, I was just thinking, Spirit just told me, well, you were talking, you know, you and I are teaching people, we're getting the word out there and we're helping people. So hopefully, you know, we can make a difference in people's lives, you know, just by talking about things and teaching people different things about themselves.
So. Absolutely. I feel like this is a time of co-creation. And the more that I do this and find amazing people, the connections are, it's meant to happen. There will be a turning point where more people have this type of connection to themselves and there'll be less suffering, I believe. I have to believe.
Yeah, me too. And I really appreciate you being on the show, Denise, and you're welcome back anytime. And
thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Electric Spirit Podcast with your host, psychic medium, Jamie Lynn. Find us on Instagram at Electric Spirit Podcast. Be sure to join us next time. Recharging your energy. Recharging your magic. Recharging your spirit. Until then, ciao.